Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Inshallah, we are about two sessions from finishing today, inshallah. Before we begin with this important stage, which is the fall of Baghdad, let's review quickly in chronological order, what took place? What are the most important dates that we have, like the most important years? For instance, if we began from year 603 of Hijrah, and that corresponds to 1206, right? Gregorian. What happened? What did Genghis Khan do? That marks the establishment of the Mongol state. Come on guys, this is the beginning of the class, subhanAllah. I thought this is good, but now I'm sure it's important. Because it seems we went far ahead of the date. Guys, before 603, before that time, the Mongols did exist. And the Tatars, they did exist, but they were divided, separated. Genghis Khan, he established the state, and he became the Khan, the king of kings. He got the title, Genghis, the king of kings, at that year. All the way until when? 622, 23, 24, what? Okay. Who took over after, who took after Genghis Khan? Okitai. Okay, now, between those years, 603 and 624, there are very important incidents. Like what? If I ask you, like, give me three most important incidents. ...616, the beginning of the attacks, right? And it, in that year, the fall of Bukhara. Then what? In the same year? 617. Okay? The fall of, not only Samarkand, this year, what is significant about this year, 617? Like Samarkand and the list is full. Maru, Naisabur, and so on and so forth. What else? Do you recall any important incident between 6.3 and 6.24? Anything important? The Khalifa. Which one? Abu al-Abbas. Al-Nasir li dinillah, that's his name. Okay, he ruled from year 575 until 622. In that same year, what happened also? The other Khalifa, his son, Abu al-Nasr. His name is Abu al-Nasr. From year, it's actually the same year. Okay, no. He ruled for 9 months only. No problem. Next we have Al-Mustansir. From year 622 until when? 640. And then from 640 we have Al-Mustasim until 656. Okay? These are few dates. Maybe tomorrow, inshallah, I need to review few things. Now, this is food for thought until tomorrow. Something that I skipped over because it's not that important. If you feel the need, we can discuss it tomorrow, inshallah. Remember this, the three B's. Three B's. Bijou, Batu and Baidar. Okay? Who are they? Exactly. They are Tartar generals. Biju, Batu and Baidar. They were in charge of invading Europe. Okay? They were in charge of invading Europe. Yes. Tartars. They are Tartars. Biju, Batu and Baidar. And each one of them has significance. We will talk about them inshallah, especially Batu. Biju is mentioned quickly in the slides, in your notes. Biju was approached by the crusaders to sign agreements for help to destroy the Khilafah, yarhamukallah. Biju, but he declined. Because at that time, Oktay was the Khan. He said, I have no authorization. You have to go to the Khan, Oktay. And Oktay, as I told you, he was very frank, very straightforward. He told them, I don't need you, you need me. I am the ruler, you are the followers. You agree on that, that's fine. They did not agree. That was a new language to them. But he was frank. I am the sole power in the world. So, Baidar was also a leader. Now, before we begin, the final review. We're talking now about the year 649. Okay, who is the ruler? The Khan of the terror. Menko. He has three leaders again. Ariq Buqa and Kubilai each one in charge of a region. And then we have Hulaku. Okay? We are talking about Hulaku. Hulaku had a specific mission to destroy the Khilafah, the Abbasi Khilafah. Yes. We talked at the beginning, if you remember, about the unique characteristics of the Mongols. And one of these characteristics were that they had very strict disciplined system that prevented this kind of actions. It did not eliminate it totally. Actually, a result of some dispute was the internal war that took place later with Baraka, who accepted Islam. We will talk about that tomorrow. But nobody tried to go against the Khan, the great Khan. That was not easy at all. They had strict disciplined system. Yes, Omar. True. They are brothers of Menko Khan and they are leaders. He assigned, as a Khan, he assigned those three leaders in charge of regions, different regions, Central Asia, Southern Asia and the Western Asia for destroying the Abbasi Khilafah. Are we good so far? Alright. Now, we come to the preparation. The preparation of Hulaku. What did he do? Mainly, yes, Omar. True. Yes. Mainly, he worked on three main fronts. The first one is the infrastructure. Now, if you look at the map, if we wanted to measure the distance between Karakorum and Baghdad, how far is it? Approximately. Over 10,000 kilometers. Now, in the rate that I told you, on average, how long it takes? I know, 40 kilometers, let's say 50. So, from 10,000 kilometers, for 10,000 kilometers, to cross that, how many days do you need? 1,000 divided by 5, 200 days. It takes 200 days. What does that mean? How many months? Over approximately 7 months. 7 months. That changes the balance in battles. So it's not wise, it's very unwise to involve yourself in a battle that your back is not protected. So Hulaku prepared his army very well against the Khilafah, against the Abbasid Khilafah. So what did he do? The preparation began with the infrastructure. What does that mean? His army. He started with his army. That long road, if it was cut off, and he was in the middle, and reinforcements came to the Muslims, he will be defeated. He did not take any chance. So what did he do? All the roads were dedicated, certain roads were dedicated for the military only. Only for the military. So these roads are quick shortcuts. Only for the military. This is like almost impossible mission. From Qurakorm to Baghdad, he did that. Over any river, and if you see the map, at least we have 5 rivers. At least, they are more than that. If you look at the rivers in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Uzbekistan, there are rivers. On all these rivers, he placed bridges. So the army can access those roads quickly. So there is no interruption. He doesn't need to wait until they need to cross the river and it's already built. So now, the access, instead of taking 200 days, it's taking 100 days, more or less. At least he secured quick roads. On top of that, he prepared roads for animals and prevented those roads from animals. For animals and from animals, yes. An army, a huge army like the army of Hulaku that is preparing, he needed grass to feed the horses and the mounts that his army is using. So to do that, he prevented the animals of peasants, of other people from certain routes. These routes were only for the military. All the way. Again, subhanAllah, you look at this, you say, why couldn't he just take the food with him? He did that, but at the same time, taking food for the military and for the animals of the military, no. The animals of the military, they will have the food on the way. Every time they go, there is food for them. Look at this preparation. That's one front, the infrastructure. The other front, which is the opponent, reaching out to the opponent. He is attacking Al-Khilafah Al-Abbasiyya, the Abbasids. He had ties from within the Khilafah itself. He reached the second man, the minister of the Khalifa. In our time, actually, he is more like the prime minister. His name was Muayyiduddin. You know what is Muayyiduddin? The supporter of the religion. Something wrong with the names. In that era, something wrong with the names. Muayyiduddin ibn al-Alqami. And that is correct. The name, the second name is correct. You know the Alqam? Alqam in Arabic is very, very bitter plant that only grows in the desert. That's the first time this name is true. But his first name, Muayyiduddin, he was Rafidi, from the Rafida. Now, it's not his fault. It's the fault of the Khalifa who ruled from year 64 until year 656. From year 642, this man was the prime minister. For how long? 14 years. Muayyiduddin ibn al-Alqami. He was from the Rafida. Now, we don't say the Shia. Why? What is the difference between Shia and Rafida? Shia, the ones who prefer Ali radiallahu anhu over Abu Bakr and Umar. That's it. Rafida, the ones who reject Abu Bakr and Umar totally. They don't even consider them from the companions. They don't consider them worthy. That's the Rafida. Of course, Shia nowadays, per se, are very few. They exist in small parts in Yemen, like the Zaydiyya, for instance. Zaydiyya, the followers of Zayd ibn Ali, Zayn al-Abidin, Ali ibn al-Husayn, rahimahullah. Husayn, radiyallahu anhu, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. His son, Zayn al-Abidin, Zayd, there are followers of Zayd called Zaydiyya. They are a small group in Yemen. The only difference between them and Ahlul Sunnah is that they prefer Ali radiyallahu anhu over Abu Bakr and Umar. That's it. They believe in Abu Bakr and Umar. But the Rafida, now you are assigning this person in that position of authority. That's disastrous. This is disastrous. The Prophet ﷺ told us about the signs of the final hour. One of them is that the people who are unfit, they will undertake the positions of authority when they are not fit. وَأَن تُوَسَّدَ الْأَمَانَ لِغَيْرِ أَهْلِهَا. People who are fit, they are not given the position. You are given the position not because you are qualified, but because you have ties with the person, or because your father was. So you are the son of that parent. That's it. So for 14 years, he is taking control of everything. You as a Khalifa, Al-Musta'sim, Abu Ahmad, his name Abu Ahmad Abdullah Al-Musta'sim, the Khalifa. You leave this man and you don't find out, you make him in charge. So Hulaku reached out to Ibn Al-Alqami. Now, what could Hulaku offer him? I mean, Ibn Al-Alqami, in this stage, he's the prime minister. So almost everything in his hand. But, subhanAllah, it's greed. It is greed. What more Hulaku could offer you? Ibn Al-Alqami was deceived that Hulaku from the Tatars, they have more. So, let's have more than just Baghdad only. Just Iraq, the region of Iraq. I will have control over more place. That is tragic, right? But there is more tragic developments. Hulaku reached also to Badruddin Lu'lu. Badruddin. What is the meaning of Badruddin? Badr, the moon when it's full. That's the Badr. The moon of the religion. Lu'lu, pearl. This man was the ruler of Al-Mawsil. You know what is Al-Mawsil? North of Iraq. So Hulaku, when he's coming, he's descending to Baghdad, not directly, there is the strip. So he's going there from the north, from Al-Mawsil. That's a Muslim land in Iraq. Badruddin Lu'lu offered battalion. Group of Muslims with Hulaku besieging Baghdad. Besieging Baghdad. More tragic incident. Yusuf, an-Nasir lidinillah. Yusuf, the supporter for the religion of Allah. Al-Ayyubi, grandson of Salah ad-Din. He sent his own son ahead of another battalion with Hulaku. I mean, no wonder Baghdad fell. Even without those Muslims, the Tatars' army was sufficient to break down the walls and to destroy Baghdad. But Hulaku had help from Muslims. How those Muslims, Badruddin Lu'lu, Yusuf an-Nasir lidinillah al-Ayyubi, how they justified helping Hulaku, I don't understand. I mean, no matter how you look at it, it's really hard to fathom that there could be such cooperation between some Muslims and the Tatars against Muslims. But this took place. Believe it or not, the son of Yusuf, an-Nasir lidinillah, was one of the leaders of the army of Hulaku attacking Baghdad. So now we have the infrastructure. The army is very well prepared. Archers brought especially to penetrate over the walls to go as far as they could in attacking Baghdad from outside the walls. Special tools and instruments to penetrate the walls, sharp instruments to attack Baghdad. All that was prepared. Reaching out, that's the second front, to the opponents. In this case, they are the Muslims. We have Ibn al-Alqami from within the state, who knows all the secrets of the Khalifa. To other Muslims, al-Mawsil. And then, finally, we have the media and the rumors. Hulaku took advantage of that as well. And he had some incidents to his favor to make the Muslims believe that the Tatars will never be defeated. One example is that Hulaku heard about a caravan coming to Baghdad. One caravan. The financial estimate, the worth of that caravan was 600 dinars. 600,000 dinars. 600,000. Imagine that large sum for one caravan that was taken. He used the terrorism acts against the Muslims of Baghdad to terrify them. Now, the Muslims, in the eyes of the world, that they are against the law. Outlaw. Hulaku is coming with the allies to make the Khalifa of Baghdad submit. SubhanAllah. Now the Khalifa